Good morning. It's a privilege and a blessing to be with you all here. We're going to start a new series. We're going to start a new series this morning. This new series is on devotion. And for us to look and take inventory of what are we doing with our lives? What are we doing with the time that God has given to us? It's 2020, and these last few weeks, for me personally, have been some of the most challenging so far in my life. Right at the end of the year, I was having some really painful chest pains, and I went into the doctor, which I never go to the doctor. I go to the doctor, and they thought that I had something called pericarditis, which is this membrane around the heart that can get swollen and put pressure on the heart. And for several days, it wasn't going away. And at night, I was thinking, is my heart failing? I would feel like I was having heart attack, which I never had a heart attack, but I was having what I imagined felt like a heart attack. And I started having thoughts of, is this my last night? Is this the last time I'm going to, be here in this way? And my mortality was really thrown up in my face through all of this. I'm 31. Heart problems was not something I would have ever had to consider going through. And so we start researching, and I go to an ultrasound for my heart, and we're in this process trying to figure out what's going on. And you know how, like, when you're trying to buy a new vehicle or you're excited to buy a new vehicle and say it's like a yellow truck, like a Ford yellow truck, and as you're in the process of doing that, you suddenly see on the road nothing but Ford yellow trucks. You've ever experienced that? What seemed like in this whole thing, every single song and scripture I was reading or studying was about the heart. It was just like everything. It's like, oh, the heart is in the Bible so much. And many times, like, are you serious? Has this always been this way? This is more than a live and active word, I felt like, many times. But I came across this verse, which is going to launch us into our study this morning, Psalm 90, verse 12. Which says, teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. I read this about a week after I went to the doctors, and I just set my Bible down. I looked up, I was like, are you serious? Like, are you teaching me to number my days right now that I have the heart that I need to have? And if that's what he's doing, then awesome. If that's what he's doing, then good. Teach us. That is an active term. God wants to teach us. He can teach us right now if we are willing to learn. And there is a number to all of our days. And it's a limited number on this earth. And once we acknowledge and accept that only God knows that number and we don't know it, there's a certain wisdom that comes from God for us in accepting that. God wants us to have a heart of wisdom. And this wisdom needs to come from the outside in. Annie and I have an appointment tomorrow, or mostly Annie, for an ultrasound to figure out our baby's gender and also an anatomy scan. And I was joking, since I had to get my heart an ultrasound, I was wondering if we could do like a 2-for-1 deal, where if we could go in and we could just like lay next to each other and have like a couple's ultrasound. It would be really, a lot of fun. We didn't get to do that. But it's funny, when we try to rely on our own understanding, when we try to solve things ourselves without keeping God in the picture, they don't work out. our own understanding is not reliable. We can't lean upon it. When I was getting my heart ultrasound, I was laying there as the technician was using his instruments to perform the ultrasound, and I'm seeing my heart up on the screen for the first time in my life, and I'm seeing all these chambers, and there's lots of moving parts and components, and I'm looking at it so intensely. I'm like, okay, what's wrong? I have no idea what I'm looking at. I have no idea, you know, what different, you know, flaps should be moving or not. And it's almost like one of those images from therapy of, you know, this abstract shape. What does this make you think? You know, how does this make you feel? I'm looking at this ultrasound of my heart, and I'm like, that looks good, I think. Or I'm like, is this supposed to do that? Like, I have all these questions. My anxiety is just rising as I'm looking at this. I'm expecting to see, like, I don't know, like a broken wall and something just like limp. I don't know. I'm trying to think. My problem-solving, you know, man brain is trying to like figure out, okay, what's the issue here? And then I'm also such a people person, since I can't deduce from looking at my heart ultrasound, then looking at the technician looking at my ultrasound, and I'm looking for any sort of like, ooh. And if thankfully his bedside manner was on point, because if he gave any sort of like, I would have lost it. I would have just lost it. So we're still waiting to hear back from the cardiologist, but from the technician's point of view, my heart looked mechanically like it's doing fine. So right now we're just waiting to hear what's going on. But I mention all that because I can't rely on my own understanding, and what has come to the surface is something I already knew, but I've been having to be challenged and tested to believe it, is that we all have a set number of days, and we don't know what that number is, and that's okay. And that what we do need to figure out is, what are we going to do with the time that we do have? What are we going to devote our time to, or to whom are we going to devote our time, is our question this morning. What are we going to do with it? So we're going to go to Acts 2, 41-42, where Patrick read for us a moment ago. And this is going to be our core passage for this four-part series. And we're going to look at what these first-generation Christians were devoted to. Devotion is a really important word. And devotion begins with attention. Attention is the beginning of devotion. So we can think of, as we're talking about devotion, we're going through the series, I'm going to be using the word attention a lot also. But what grabs our attention? What do we give our attention to? And that's a good barometer for what actually has our devotion. So we can see that they were devoted to the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of the bread, and the prayers. Those are the four. These are going to be the four lessons in this series. And today, our first lesson is that these first Christians were devoted to the apostles' teachings. We're going to look at, why is that important? Can we do that today? What does this mean to us? So not just were they devoted to the apostles themselves, they were devoted to the apostles' teachings. Christians weren't devoted to these men. They weren't, they were our brothers in Christ. Just there was nothing. They were not holier than other people. They weren't worthy of devotion themselves, but the teaching that they were proclaiming to the world was worthy of devotion. And what makes someone an apostle is someone who was an eyewitness to Jesus, someone who's commissioned by Christ himself to bring his truth, the truth, to the world. And here's an actual picture of the apostles and Jesus. No, of course it's not. There's a lot of things probably wrong, you know, artistically with this picture of it. But just to show that these were men that were with Jesus, who or saw Jesus, and Jesus personally commissioned to bring his message to the world. There's something really unique about the apostles. In John 16, verses 12 through 15, Jesus is talking to his apostles, to the 12, And he tells them, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. And he will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare to you. All that the Father has is mine, and therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. So the you here in this passage is specifically the apostles, the disciples that Jesus is talking to. When you and I get baptized and become Christians, all truth isn't just downloaded into our minds. The apostles, when the Spirit came on them, they were guided into all truth, and they were able to proclaim and write Scripture. Most of our New Testament is written by the apostles. The apostles were special, and we have their ministry with us today in this written word that has been accurately translated and well-preserved. It's pretty amazing to think about 2,000 years to have this accurate, reliable translation of their written account of truth and of who Christ is. Isn't it pretty amazing to have God's Word? I mean, to actually think about it, like, look at my library. I have some histories here, I have some novels here, and then I have the words of God of the universe. It's a pretty amazing reality that we sometimes take for granted, for how we have so much access to the Bible in this day and age that sometimes we forget just what a precious, precious equipment it is for us in this life. So how amazing is it to have the Word of God with us? Well, going back a few verses in this chapter, Jesus also tells the apostles, he says, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And this passage always gives me pause, because I can hardly imagine something more exciting than getting to stand physically next to Jesus and have him in the flesh, to be able to sit at his feet, to ask him questions, to walk alongside him. That just seems like the coolest thing ever. I don't think you could top that. But then Jesus himself is saying, it's better that I go away so that I can send the Spirit. And that having the Holy Spirit here in this world, and the apostles being inspired with the Spirit, and for us as the church to be having received the Spirit, that's a better dynamic than having Jesus in the flesh. That's something I'm still just so thrilled about and trying to process more, that it is to our advantage to have the Scriptures like this. It's to our advantage that Jesus has ascended to the throne and that he has sent the Spirit to the world, that our sins have been washed away because of his sacrifice on the cross, that he has built the church. All this is to our advantage. It's better than having Jesus walking amongst the earth. I just think, wow. I sometimes take this whole Scripture and Spirit thing for granted. I don't understand what has been given. And that's what I'm trying for us all to understand now, is that there's something worthy of devotion. And it's this teaching that the apostles didn't just come up with. They weren't just commentators or theologians or people like, hey, let me tell you about my experience. I saw this guy, Jesus, changed my life. That's not what happened. These were men who had received the Spirit in a supernatural way to proclaim the truth of who God is, who Jesus is, and we still have that today. So can we lessen or even lose our devotion to God's Word? Is that something that's possible? It's so unique, it's so spiritual, it's so beautiful, it's so well, it's perfectly made. We recognize that it's not like other books or other letters or written things. Is it possible for us to lose our devotion to it? And what does that look like? I think the beginning of it looks like Isaiah 5, verse 19. Let's go over there together. situated. There we go. Let's read this together. Woe to those who draw iniquity with cords of falsehood, who draw sin as with cart ropes, who say, let him be quick, let him speed his work that we may see it. Let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw near, and let it come that we may know it. I wrote in my notes here, hurry up, preacher. That's what the attitude of this person who's being rebuked has, where they're carrying around, they have these cords and they have this bag, it's like just a sled behind them full of sin and iniquities. They're walking along, they see, in this case, a prophet who's proclaiming the word of God, and they're like, they stop, okay, let's hear it. What's the counsel? What's God's message? I got places to be. And this attitude of minimizing the word of God, and that it's just something to stop, and okay, let's just hear it, maybe I'll like it, maybe I don't. And it's not an attitude of devotion. I'm going to stop everything. This is what I'm going to submit to, no matter what he says. I'm going to listen, adhere to. Everything else just cannot hold a candle to the importance of what is about to be said. It's not that type of, there's no devotion here. There's some inclusion, but there is not devotion to God's word. God's word can't be allowed to be diminished to just a daily notification on your phone. Where we're so busy, so many things going on, and ding, oh, verse of the day. Well, that's nice. And we just go on. It's like, I got things to do. I got places to be. Things that I want to do. Things that I think are important. Instead of, well, what does God say is important? What does God say I'm supposed to do with my time in my life? Inclusion is not devotion. And as Christians, we need to have a devotion for God's word. Not just supplementing and sprinkling into our lives spiritual things. Now, a daily reading, a daily verse, not a bad deal. But this attitude of, okay, let me get my church time in, and okay, and we're done. Now, Robert and I are really conscientious of trying to be timely, to trying to be considerate, to factor in ages and attention spans and culture for how to best communicate the word. So we try to make our lessons around, 30 minutes or so. But it's so easy to have our attention, which is the beginning of devotion, spread amongst so many things when we need to think, okay, what really demands our attention? Where is our attention best placed? Because we only have a limited amount of attention to give. Not because we're all ADD and really distracted easily, it's because we have a limited amount of time. What are we going to do with this time? I saw a meme a while ago. It's a pretty good meme. I'm sure you've seen it before. I think it's quite good. It's been used for many different things. But in this setting, I find it appropriate as well. You see, God calls Israel, and like Hosea, and even some Christians in the book of James, calls them you adulterous people, because they were saying that they were faithful and devoted to God, but then they would be drifting and then living like they were devoted to something or someone else. And God's a jealous God. And so in this meme, there's you and me here, and here's God, who's a jealous God. He's perfect and good. And we are tempted in so many ways to have our attention away from God towards other things. We have a desire. Satan wants to tempt us with greed, and we put our attention towards the accumulation of more and more things or more numbers in a bank account. Satan tempts us with lust, where we turn people into objects of pleasure. We're tempted to have our attention towards just worldliness and trying to gain status or gain prestige in our social circles and to blend in to a pleasurable amount. We have our attention sometimes just towards apathy and laziness, where it's just easier to not care, just take the path of least resistance. Pride is a very common and very destructive temptation, something I struggle with, in that life is just about you. And then all this could be umbrellaed by sin. Now, in this picture, which is a staged, you know, funny moment that is made for this meme, but let's just say this was a real scenario. Would the woman in the blue, does she have, is it right for her to be making that expression? Obviously so. You know, this man in the middle, you know, someone might say, well, he's not actually doing anything with this woman, but the heart of this guy is obviously not right. The heart of this individual is not a heart of devotion. I think this is what we wrestle with spiritually, where we claim, yeah, I'm married to God. I'm in this covenant relationship, but you see all that over there? And we might not be jumping into all of that, but we might be thinking, that looks pretty good. And that's a spiritual lack of devotion. That's a spiritual form of adultery. We have to be super careful and gain a heart of wisdom to know, I have a limited number of days. What am I doing with my life? Where are these days going? Who am I devoting these days to? So attention is the beginning of devotion. What has your attention? Think about it. When you're left to your own devices, where does your mind go? Where does your heart go? What has your attention? What are we devoted to? What is your devotion? See, again, attention is the beginning of devotion, and devotion is the verb of character. Who you are is your character. Who you are when no one's looking is your character, and what you do is your, in all intents and purposes, your devotion. So God is a jealous God, and he wants us to learn from him. He wants us to have a heart of wisdom, and God's never going to give up on this relationship. He is faithful even when we are faithless, and that is a very comforting, comforting truth. He's more committed to this than we are. He wants to save you more than you want to be saved. This morning, I want us, and as we're beginning this new year, is for again to ask the question, not just resolutions that I want to just make myself a little bit better this year, but to ask the big questions. What am I doing with my life? What am I doing today? Tomorrow is not guaranteed for any of us. There is a place prepared for us that Christ has done. But this next day, this next week, this next month, we can't number those. We don't know if they're going to happen. I hope that we all have many days more together. But that's not guaranteed. What we do have to make choices on right now is, what am I going to devote the time that I have right now? Because I can't devote 10 years from now. I don't know if I have 10 years from now. I don't know if I have 10 minutes. I might have a heart attack right now while I'm talking to you guys here. And what a way to go. So you have been blessed and graced, all of us have, with an amount of time. And you have the choice to use that time and give that attention to anything. So let's reflect and think, what am I devoted to? And let's look to the early Christians and see that they were devoted to the apostles' teachings, and that God's word is worth devotion. Amen. Let that sink in, that God's word is worth your devotion. God has given you something precious, the breath of life. That is something priceless. And it's that priceless breath of life, something that's worth that precious breath of life, is devotion to God's word. I'm by default an optimist. And I'm going to laugh hopefully about this in the days to come and think this was just a really bad case of acid reflux. I think that would be hilarious. But no matter what happens, God is in control, and he is good, and he is patient, and he, through all of this, has been teaching me to number my days and to know that I can't number them, But I do have a place prepared for me with him. And he's prepared a place for all of us to be with him. And I hope that all of us will be with the Lord forever. So let God's word take your devotion. Don't wander to the left or to the right from towards anything else. But let this be as a new year, not just a new year, but a new moment in your life where you recognize, I'm going to do something right with my time. I'm going to devote it to God. And the way we do that is we start with his word. It's something from the outside that comes into the inside and makes our hearts wise. So with that in mind, if there's any needs this morning that we can help with, please come forward while we stand and sing this next song.